T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air. It's game one of a 4-game series between the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals.
Anthony Rizzo. Yes, Anthony Rizzo back in the lineup, leading off and playing first base.
Here's Rizzo. Anthony drives one in the air, deep left center field. It's got a chance. Gone. Rizzo ties the game with a rocket to left center.
The delivery. Ground ball up the middle and through for a base hit. The Cardinals take the lead. An RBI single by Harrison Bader. And it's St. Louis 2, Cubs 1 here in the fifth inning.
And Hayward hits a ground ball right side. Diving stop by Edmund. Throws to first. Tie and run scores. This ball game is tied at 4. We go to the 10th inning. Craig Kimbrel just activated earlier today. Kimbrel on the mound in this 10th inning. Here is Matt Carpenter stepping in. Driving one in the air. Deep left center. Trouble, and that's long gone. Ball game over. The Cardinals beat the Cubs 5-4 in 10 innings.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Good morning, guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
You know, it's a big weekend for us. See, we got to win. We have to win games. You know, it's have to win. We fell short today, but we got to bounce back tomorrow and play a good baseball game.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Not so fired up.
Oh, boy.
Close, but no El Producto, my friend.
Good morning, Mully.
How are you, Mr. David?
I'd say happy Friday, but it doesn't feel that way in Chicago. Not this morning.
Well,
today.
We can turn that around.
You can?
Yeah.
Turn that frown upside down?
It's a giveaway Friday.
It's a giveaway Friday. Let's go right there.
We have a lot. Hey, listen, I know everyone's upset, but we have stuff to give you.
Let's cheer them up.
So we're trying desperately.
There's nothing that...
That was pretty awful.
There's nothing that the Cardinals can do that Jason Aldean can't undo? Is that what you're trying to say?
We won't say exactly what we're giving away.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a giveaway
Unless
Friday.
Unless you blurted it out.
I just blurted it out.
Bowls,
you know, we're not really going to get much into that.
We're not going to say that either. We'll break it slowly to you.
You know what? You can give away...
available.
Tickets, you can try to compensate, you can try to rationalize.
Just don't give away a home run. It was all hands on deck, and the Pirate gave up the booty.
What a dramatic night at Wrigley Field. The way that it ended, Mully, the way that it went, the whole evening, toughest loss of the season.
Oh, easily.
Toughest loss of the season. We have this conversation. We've had it several times, and there have been a lot of other games.
Most important game of the season to date.
Because of the stakes, because of
Ergo,
the calendar.
Toughest loss.
Because of the mood swings. Right. Down and up and down and up and down again. 10 innings really that summed up the entire year.
But it's interesting you say the tough. I mean, look, Jack Flaherty was dealing. There was really nothing you could do. Jack Flaherty pitched 8 innings in that game and just mowed you down. And they finally got him out, and that's when the comeback began, and that's when the heartbreak really began. You didn't feel like you had a chance as long as that guy was pitching.
Well,
he was really
good.
You
really didn't, and you have to give him credit because he is on that. Yeah. We said it before.
He's
they
good.
Mentioned it last night. He's on this Jake Arrieta-like run.
Right.
And then when Rizzo homers and kind of starts that script and kind of draws you in, like, oh, my gosh, there's nothing uninspired about that effort, okay? And then – you think you may be Flaherty, maybe you can eke out another run, and then they take a lead, and then you're down again. And then Flaherty leaves, and you're down 4-1. You think, okay, rationalize this loss. You got to go into the weekend, and then you come back and tie it. And you think, okay, this is going to be one of those nights. This could be one of those series. This could be one of those moments. And then here comes Kimbrel.
When they came back and tied it, I thought they were going to win it.
You really did.
I did.
You did. Okay, yeah. So we're texting, and I said, this is going extras. And you said, no, this is going to be a walk-off.
Yeah, it felt that way.
Mr. Sunshine.
But it felt that way.
It did.
It felt like, you know, there was a certain man out of prison feeling when Flaherty left.
It was like, okay, we can start now. There's yes. hope again.
Here we go.
We can live.
Everybody, and you know, I mean, we'll talk about Rizzo, but that was pretty cool. The big surprise, Anthony Rizzo, the Cubs sandbagging a little, let's be honest, but Anthony Rizzo able to play.
Just stop with that.
Just saying. They knew what they were doing. And you think the guy really couldn't play this week?
Yeah, I do.
Play. So that was just a miracle recovery.
I don't want to say miracle recovery, but I don't think they were being disingenuous to provide the drama, the buildup. I think he woke up after the cortisone took effect, and he felt better than he anticipated.
Well, I think that people speculated maybe that it would be worse than it was because he was rolling around screaming bloody murder like he had just gotten his leg cut off when the injury initially happened.
Okay.
So people jumped to conclusions.
And they
never said anything, really.
No.
No,
Theo made a comment about Curt Schilling and the bloody sock.
And he said it was a legitimate injury.
Yes.
And here's the thing, and I texted you last night about this, was interesting. The people closest to the team, which are always the beat people and always the reporters and always the, you know, there was a sense that this was going to be a season-ending injury. And there was a sense that if he did return, and there was the word if used, that it would be for the playoffs. And then you hear last night rumblings, well, you know, he's on the field. He's trying to go. He's going to go. 15 minutes before the game, you know, they changed the lineup. And
sandbag it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it was not – listen, if you had a high ankle sprain or you had – you couldn't go. So the fact that he was able to play the game, although tentative on the one bunt, obviously Jack Flaherty got on base, loaded the bases. That was the first run, I believe, after that. But he looked okay. And that, you know, that indicates that the severity of the injury wasn't what was reported.
Well, we'll find out today,
I guess.
He went
into a boot, and he...
We'll find out if he comes back today and how he feels.
People see those boots. Those boots are just to stabilize an ankle. That's not... You know, they got a bunch of those things floating around. It's not hard to get one of them.
I wore one today. I was a little bit... Yeah, my heel was a little bit sore.
You thought it was going to snow.
I thought it matched my pants.
So you wore the boot.
I did. I thought it matched my belt as well.
I'm merely saying...
Lululemon boot.
That doesn't mean... You know, and the fact that they had him on the scooter, they didn't want any pressure on it. But you know they've been going to town on that thing rehab-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that they've been working like mad. I'm sure that that didn't surprise the Cubs that he played. I'm sure that they knew a day or two ago that he was going to give this a shot. And you throw in the fact that he was the only guy, apparently, that can hit Jack Flaherty. That's another reason that he was going to play. That's
I still think it was a great moment.
I agree.
You have to give him credit for trying to get back and help his team to the extent that he helped his team.
Yeah, he really did a good job of sandbagging.
I'm not going there.
Well, I do think there was some element there, don't you? He didn't just wake up feeling good and go out.
But
and
I don't. I think he did it to create any sort of strategic advantage to kind of imply that was, you know, I'm not going to do this and wait until I come back and I'm going to create this sort of moment where everybody rallies around. I think that. You just don't know when you're injured how bad it's going to be, and you always fear the worst.
My point is simply, clearly, the injury wasn't as bad as initially feared because he was able to come back, whatever, three or four days later.
You initially feared it was broken. I mean,
yeah, but you knew coming out of it wasn't broken.
Right.
Because they told you the x-ray it wasn't broken, and then the MRI was on Monday, right? So, I mean, it's a very quick recovery. He's got the recuperative powers of a professional wrestler. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but, it's one of the best examples, I think, of a guy coming back quickly to play through something that I could think of. I was texting with a couple people last night. What's it comparable to that we've seen around here recently? And
Willis Reed.
Nah,
that's what people are trying to say.
I know,
like he's playing with a broken leg,
somebody texted me the flu game with Jordan. I don't know about
Jordan.
That.
You know what? The flu game with Jordan. Go look at his career. He played a lot with the flu.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. Every time he was sick,
he was
offered as
really
an
good.
I mean, are people comparing Anthony Rizzo coming back in game 153 to NBA Finals performances? They didn't even win the damn game. Let's be honest. That's
but
a
he
Craig,
did homer. He
that's
did have
the a, Craig Kimbrell there was game.
A Kirk, he did get a homer.
There was a Kirk was Gibson a moment, and yeah. It was pretty cool.
It was in the World Series.
Yeah, I know, but it was representative of a guy that was gimping around the bases as he, you know, celebrated his home run that nobody expected him to be in the game. Nobody's comparing the stakes.
It was fantastic. And you know what? I mean, it was great that Baez came back and had the oven mitt on or whatever. And
he was going to rush the passer.
And he was a pinch runner. And I think it was unbelievable that that wasn't as good, was it? Craig Kimbrell came back, unfortunately.
Well, he did look hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he looked, I mean, that was ugly. And you know, I'm not going to say who, but someone texted me when he came in with like a little bit of a warning that this was going to happen.
Okay,
not naming names.
Okay, see, but I've learned the hard way. I'll fess up. I expected bad things to happen when he came into the game.
I thought of Kevin.
I did too. And I was.
He's got us poisoned on the guy.
I've been forewarned, and I have. But admit it, when he had the strikeout, and he hit 96. And you thought, oh, wow, he avoided the first batter problems that have plagued him at times. And then he gives up his seventh home run of the year in 19 innings. Last year he gave up 7-62. That's just bad. And that's just demoralizing. And that just was a terrible way to end what could have been a great, memorable night at Wrigley Field. Now it'll be memorable for the wrong reason. Remember that night Rizzo came back and Kimbrell blew it?
Yeah, that was just sad. It was just sad because there's no way around it. And I mean, you know, Carpenter comes into the game because you got an injury with
Wong.
Colton Wong goes out with a hammy, which I mean, not bad.
Sandbagging.
And then they move.
He's sandbagging.
They move Edmund over to second.
I think he's sandbagging.
And what's wrong with sandbagging? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with sandbagging. I mean, it's a great strategy. I think it was. It became a national story. They were oohing and aahing on the broadcast.
Oh, they were very
impressed. I mean, they couldn't have very impressed. They couldn't have talked. I mean, Paul Bunyan could have come out and chopped down a couple of trees, and he wouldn't have gotten the same kind of response that Anthony Rizzo did with the ankle. There's nothing wrong with that.
Crowd was into it. It was one of those moments you thought, okay, this is going to carry the more. This is going to be a great way to go into this series with a victory, emotional lift, that kind of stuff. That is what momentum looks like, but no.
And we have a texter checking in saying, you asked for sports references, Hulk Hogan coming back in WrestleMania 2. I didn't see WrestleMania 2, so I don't know that reference.
I believe that was the cage match against King Kong Bundy, if I recall. Yeah.
But I did say that there was the recuperative powers of a professional wrestler.
You did say that.
And that is the indication that maybe the injury wasn't as severe as we first initially feared. One pleasant way of saying it, right?
He did look like he was laboring a lot. He did look like he was not a guy that was faking that.
No one says he was faking it. I think we all saw the injury. He rolled his ankle, and it looked awful.
Kevin implied that he was overacting and how much it hurt.
No,
when he did it.
I did not imply that. You may have inferred it inaccurately, but no, it looked really painful.
I love when I get lessons on the difference between imply and infer. The midday show? Jesus.
I never implied that he was faking it or over-exaggerating, just that he was rolling around and it looked horrible.
Yes.
Writhing
clearly,
in pain?
Yes, he was
writhing in pain.
And it clearly could not have been that bad.
Okay. No, if he was able to come back 3 days later. Was it 4 days later?
Wasn't that long.
Saturday.
Okay.
So it was like 4 days later.
Okay, I'm sorry. I clarified. But
wish Kimber would have taken an extra day.
Oh, see,
that's all.
That's, you know.
And I've been a Kimbrough guy, you know.
I know you
to
have.
To my detriment.
Yeah, you have.
But I've seen enough. Yeah. I kind of am done here.
Well.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
No, I mean, look, that was very costly. I don't know what to tell you.
But we'll get into this at 5:05. But you know what?
Yeah.
I don't blame Joe Madden for going to Kimbrough. I really don't. Some people will have that reaction today. If he's there, he's available, you got to. That's who you have.
You think Rossi would have gone to him?
Was Rossi at the game last night in Theo's booth?
I hope not.
He was. I saw him.
Eating the peanut butter.
Absolutely.
In the background.
He was there. Yeah. And boy, every time Kimbrel comes out, you know, you can see Theo's bald spot just growing a little bit more.
Did you see the peanut butter in the picture in the background when they had Theo's? They had two jars of peanut butter.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Good for them. Is that good for you, peanut butter?
Well, chunky, protein, right? Chunky and creamy.
I don't know. You're the dietitian here.
I'm not the diet. What? Good God. Yeah. I'm more the guy that listened to Kevbo and made too many, what do you call them?
Stop.
Little Brussels cabbages. Brussels sprouts. Kevin, give me all
Well, I gave
Brussels
you the recipe.
Sprouts.
I didn't tell you to eat, you know, 3 tons of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Defined vegetable. Brussels sprouts.
Never again.
Everything in
Brussels
moderation.
Sprouts. Yeah.
Underrated vegetable.
Ruined my week. Brussels sprouts. Underrated vegetable.
It is.
Yeah. Just don't eat it. Here, just for all the listeners, don't eat Brussels sprouts with broccoli and cauliflower and think you're doing yourself some good service.
All right. Let's get to the five at five.
Yeah, we got the 5 at 5. Enough of that talk. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How did the Cubs avoid making Thursday's defeat more than one loss due to the letdown? And where is your confidence now in the Cubs' ability to win the division or make the playoffs as a wild card?
Yeah, you know, there is not a chance that you can let what happened last night affect how you perform today. You just can't do it. And, you know, the line in baseball is always that momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. Okay, so Cole Hamels can't go, so you lost your starting pitcher. Not good. But it will kind of be a bullpen game, and Mills will start, and that's it's better to have that than the alternative, I suppose. But the fact of the matter is that you can't let it. It's baseball. Number one, you don't let stuff bother you from game to game. You learn that in baseball. Baseball is all about dealing with adversity. It's all about failure and then finding a way to have success and all the rest of it. So psychologically, the game itself kind of preps you for it. I think it's hard as a fan, maybe, to not feel the pain of that. But baseball players are used to rolling over the calendar and going from one day to the next. So I don't believe that there's going to be some deep psychological effect from that. My confidence in the Cubs' ability to win the division is, it's not, I wouldn't call it waning. I would call it gone. I do not. It is evaporated. I have no confidence.
Done.
That the Cubs, I do not believe they can win the division right now. They are 4 games back. I understand they still have a lot of games against St. Louis. If they win these next 3 games and we're back here on Monday, maybe my confidence, maybe it's taken a little bit of a turn. Maybe I'm feeling better about it. But right now, I have zero confidence that they are going to win the division. Absolutely, unequivocally, none. As far as the wild card is concerned, again, this weekend will tell the tale, because I'm already anticipating that the Brewers are going to sweep Milwaukee is going to sweep Pittsburgh, because that team is going to show up on a stick, if you know what I'm saying. They are they don't hang. They are just that bad. So I don't think that Pittsburgh's going to have much of an effort in them and are going to make much of an impact. And I think the Brewers are winning 3 games this weekend. So it comes down to these next 3 games for the Cubs in terms of their playoff hopes. If they sweep them, which I believe is unlikely, I think they can win 2 of the next 3, which would put them at which would be 3 games. It just wouldn't help them. But that's where I think the division is gone right now, is how I feel. And I think that they better sweep these games, or I'm going to think that the Brewers, 2 games ahead of them, are going to, with their easy run-in, are going to be the second wild.
I like your line about momentum. I think that's, you want that to be true. I don't know that it is here. I think that what happened last night was it increased the pressure going into these next 3 games and this weekend. And I think we heard Jed Hoyer yesterday acknowledge the fact that at this time of year, the pressure does exceed the pleasure. And the mantra doesn't hold And I think when you look at the Cubs team that is pressing, and there's going to be pressing even more today, they made some mental mistakes last night. Schwarber gets caught off base. I know it was a comebacker, but he did have a bad night. And
didn't field that ball clean, that was bad. Or he would have thrown a guy out at home.
That was bad. You can't make an error under these circumstances. It's going to be – everything's going to be tighter today. Everything's going to be – you know, you talk about momentum, the opposite of momentum. There's some negative energy going on there, and everybody's a little bit more – tightly wound, and I think that's a problem. So, you know, the other day when they had 11 games left, you know, I was talking out there and talking to people. There was a Cubs official that said, okay, you know what? 9-2 would do it. 9-2, would they feel good if they could go 9-2 about the division? Well, that was two losses ago.
Yeah.
They're not going to win out. They're not going to finish the season going 9 straight. So right. I don't think they're going to win the division. I have no confidence that they can overtake the Cardinals 4 games with 9 to go. I still feel like the wild card, the possibility. I don't think they can lose 3 or 4 at home this weekend to the Cardinals and make the playoffs. That said, 9 games is a long time in the baseball calendar. You don't like the Brewers' schedule. This is the first time since April the Cubs have been on the outside looking in. You wonder how they will respond to that. If momentum is the next day starting pitcher, I don't know that you feel that great about Alec Mills going to the mound, even though he's pitched well. You'd like to see Cole Hamels and his experience there. That was a surprise scratch. So right now, if you're the Cubs, you don't want one game to, you know, linger longer than it has to, but I'm afraid it might.
David, that pleasure pressure thing, that might be a T-shirt. You might be onto something there. I think you've got something that you can market there. But
you'll see the shirt. The shirt's coming out soon.
Thank you, Joe. In terms of this, unfortunately, I mean, last night was such a big game, just in terms of momentum, in terms of the standings, in terms of attitude coming in here, and then you see, and Cole Hamels must really be unable to throw. Otherwise, I mean, you know, just from knowing the guy throughout his career, that he would be out there. The guy's a gamer. He was the ace of the Phillies staff. He's been great for the Cubs. So my confidence is really pretty much nothing at this point, because I'm not a huge Alec Mills fan. I'd rather have a healthy anybody than an injured guy out there, but I'm not a huge believer that Mills v. Waka on the Cubs coming off of last night's defeat is a good thing. Whatever happens, I mean, just think about this. Last weekend, they scored 1 million runs against the Pirates. They win the series opener against the Reds. You're feeling great as a Cubs fan. They have not won since. And this just as this Cardinals 7 games in 10 days could help propel them to the playoffs, it could also, this weekend, knock them right out of the playoffs, and I fear that that's where we're headed.
Well, to answer the first question here, how do they avoid making the defeat more than one loss? You come out, you swing the bats today, and you do something offensively, which they weren't able to do throughout 8 innings yesterday, and mostly that was down to Jack Flaherty being the best pitcher on the planet in the second half of the season, so I won't begrudge them too much for that. They did show a ton of fight against Martinez there in the ninth to be able to come back, and they deserve a little bit of credit for that, although we probably won't remember what they did in the top of the ninth. We won't remember what happened in the bottom of the ninth. We'll remember what happened in the top of the 10th when Kimbrel came in and did Craig Kimbrel things. But you come out, you swing the bats today, you put together a good offensive performance. Cubs have a very good track record against Michael Wacha. He's got a 6.68 ERA lifetime versus the Cubs. Day game, nice weather. You come out, you swing the bats today, and you forget about what happened last night. That's the only thing they can do.
Swing the bats. Yeah, that's the answer there. I mean, if you look at the runs scored, you break this homestand down. The first 4 games of the homestand, which I know included the Pirates, they scored 55 runs in that big weekend of the offensive explosion and all of that. The last 3 games, 8 runs. When it's counting most, especially, these games that are so important. I mean, that's what it is. I know the last 2 games, they were able to tie and go to extra innings, but you gotta follow through. You gotta get the win. This is it. This is the final stretch here. My confidence about them winning the division, I mean, I have not been confident they'd win the division the whole season, but but I always thought this would slip away because of the road Cubs. Even when they were in first place, I always imagine this is what would happen.
That's what we'll look back at, Ray. I mean, you're making a good point there, because when we do the autopsy on the season, we'll find out that the patient had just a terrible, terrible infection created by road losses.
I mean, people wanted to make the argument, you're complaining about the Cubs, but look at, they're in first place. But it's not sustainable to play well on the road and just not show up offensively on the road. I mean, it's just not sustainable. I think the best chance is the wild card. I really don't think winning the division is even a possibility.
That's a pretty easy question to answer.
Should Anthony Rizzo receive a Cub for Life contract, a Tough Guy Award, or a nomination from the Academy after recovering from a turned ankle for the Cardinals series? And is his recovery more myth-making, sandbagging, or Disney movie?
Who came up with that question?
Certainly
I wonder.
A Sox fan.
I wonder.
Gotta be dusted.
Dripping with sarcasm.
How is it dripping?
It's dripping. It is dripping. I need a towel. It's dripping with sarcasm. I'm willing to give him
Cup for Life
credit.
Cup for Life contract.
I'm not. Okay. Cup for Life contract, maybe not. Tough Guy Award, perhaps. Nomination for the Academy. I don't know how much acting was involved. I think there was reflex. I think it was instinct. You're injured. You don't know how bad it is. His reaction was more out of fear than it was maybe out of pain. But there was uncertainty there when you twist your ankle that badly. That said, I do wonder how bad it was. I have to. My first response was when I saw him and I'm sitting there watching the game, and my wife is a trigger point therapist, and I'm asking her some questions about, like, okay, if you have this, could you talk yourself into the cortisone shots? And she's like, cortisone shots are bad for you. They're awful for you, but they do work.
They have an immediate effect, but they also can eventually tear down whatever the ligament is.
You just
is.
Don't know the yeah. Yeah, the long, so long-term. But this is a short-term gain. You don't know what the long-term impact will be. Maybe I don't know how he's going to wake up this morning feeling. Maybe everything was into that moment to get back for this game. Maybe did more harm than good. I don't know, but I do give him credit. At the very least, I give him credit for trying to play through the pain. We love that in Chicago. We love that in sports cities when guys try to do that and they don't put themselves, they're not soft. There's nothing about this that says Anthony Rizzo is soft as much as the question implies it.
Oh, I don't think that question implies it at all. I think that I think the Cub for Life contract, I think he does deserve to be here for a very long time. I think he wants to stay, and they should make sure he does, because he is the heart and soul of the team. Tough Guy Award, yeah, for sure. He should be credited with his ability to play with that injury. That was fantastic. A nomination from the Academy, I'd give him one of those too, because I think that there was a little bit of sandbagging involved. And I do think that the recovery, there is some myth-making here. I mean, you heard it on the broadcast. You know, when you're talking about Willis Reed, I don't know how many people actually remember that.
It's 50 years ago.
I know.
1970.
But look it up. I mean, that's one of the extraordinary moments in sports. He also didn't have one of the greatest games ever. He just played.
4 points.
It was the guard that went crazy in that game, but let's not worry about that right now.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
So that's myth-making, right. Sandbagging. Yeah, you know, they did imply that he was going to, in 1 week, they'll try to look at it. I mean, the thing obviously responded, and it was better than they expected. Disney movie. Sadly, that's the one thing I can't go with, because unfortunately they did not win. Unbelievable moment when he hits the home run, but that you can't have a Kirk Gibson moment if you don't win the World Series out of it. What you got out of it was one lousy run against Jack Flaherty, and he's the only guy that can hit Jack Flaherty. So it's not a Disney movie because it doesn't have that happy ending. It doesn't have that build up. What would be the Disney moment? Him signing the Cup for Life contract? Would that be the great finale of it? You got to win, and he's already done that. I understand they've already won a World Series, but the Disney movie thing leads to the big game at the end and the big moment, and I worry they're not going to get there.
I'm just wondering who would play Kimbrel
in the movie. Yeah, my God.
Bozo the Clown.
Yeah, well,
John Candy.
We should save that one.
He's left us.
We should save that one for another question. But
Chris Farley with a beard.
Holy cow. I love Anthony Rizzo. I think it's great that, he made a point of saying, listen, regardless of, whether the ankle is 40% or 80% or whatever, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but, hey, this is the end of the season. These are critical games. There's, 10 games left before last night? You got to try to win in order to make the playoffs. So I give the guy credit. regardless of just how healthy his ankle was or not and how much of this was sandbagging or precautionary. Listen, I'm sure if this were the middle of May, he would have not set foot on that field. He would have set out. He would have kept that walking boot on, whatever. But he's trying to give his team a lift. He did give his team a lift. I was surprised when we saw Javier Baez on the base pass last night. That was awesome. And it looked like all of the, you know, all these ingredients, once Flaherty got out of the game, were going to help the Cubs win the game. It would have been a huge, if they would have pulled that one off, we would be talking this morning about that's their best win of the year and season changer, season saver. Instead, you're right. I mean, you can't make a Disney movie. It was more like, what, a Tim Burton movie or something. One of those horror, scary, yuck movies that that seems to be where we're at right now. And if you could tell, yes, I'm pretty depressed about last night's loss.
630 texter says they're writing a musical about it as we speak.
So Sweeney Todd?
It's on the way. I will give Anthony Rizzo a lot of credit for not only playing in that game last night, but for performing pretty well in that game last night. He was the only one that could touch Flaherty, as you guys brought up. The injury, as I said before, you know, we never really got any concrete information on it. It was just that he turned his ankle, looked really bad. There was a lot of speculation. There's only a couple of weeks left in the season, so people, I think, jumped to conclusions that he was going to be out for the year. But luckily for Rizzo, you know, he did exhibit a lot of toughness and grit, if you want to go there, to get back in the lineup. I give him a lot of credit for that. And on the plus side, he's not a very mobile guy or a good first baseman anyway, so it's not like he's going to lose that much there. It's not a Disney movie. Whenever Craig Kimbrell is involved, the 2019 version of Craig Kimbrell, it's more like a Greek tragedy, and that's exactly what happened again last night. Oh, boy, who could have seen that one coming? Boy, who's been on that since the day they signed him? I'm not taking a victory lap, but I think I'm going to take a victory lap.
I have to give you credit. You have been pretty consistent with your skepticism over Kimbrell.
Since day one.
Yes, I also thought of Kevin as soon as that home run was hit. Yeah.
What a horrible person Kevin is.
I'm living rent free in everybody's head.
That's right. Like, damn it, Kevin. Right again.
This horrible moment happens and we immediately think Kev Buck.
I was just happy that Kevin was right once.
I was right about Gardner Minshew, too.
Just wait till Tim Anderson wins the batting title, mister.
Well, I am presenting Mr. Anthony Rizzo with the Tough Guy Award for this. That's what I'm saying. Tough Guy Award, not a Cub for Life contract because, you know, we're not in the postseason yet. This is not a big postseason moment or anything like that. Tough Guy Award for showing up you guys pointed out, against a pitcher that he has had success against. And when everything's on the line, he showed up. And sure, I know, Mully, you're looking at his sandbagging potentially, yes.
But nothing wrong with sandbagging, buddy. How do you play this game? I didn't know you could deal cards. Let's try.
But I will say this.
It's called sandbagging. It's good.
Maybe they waited to announce this so close to the beginning of the game because think of how many pregame little dumb accidents happen where people get hurt. Remember taking my pants off, Brandon Morrow? This guy could have slipped or something, you know, and made the ankle worse.
Go look at Jose Cardinal's career.
Exactly.
Thanks for reminding us of that, Ray.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these things happen. So maybe it was a last-minute decision. They wanted to just wait and make sure he didn't tweak the ankle in some other weird way walking around the ballpark. I will not call this a Disney movie or anything of that sort because of the outcome. I will just say this will be the forgotten storyline of the 2019 Cubs, one of them, but when we look back at just how disappointing this has been this year.
Yeah, it's actually a great question.
Cole Hamels was scratched from today's scheduled start due to shoulder soreness. Is it another injury disaster or a blessing in disguise? And would you rather have a healthy Alec Mills over an injured Hamels, or is it more important to protect the bullpen early in a key series?
Yeah, I understand wanting to protect the bullpen, but if you're having a bullpen game, I'd rather have Cole Hamels go three or three and a half, three and two-thirds or something. I don't know how this makes things better, losing Cole Hamels. Now, he's clearly hurt, and he gets to skip a start, and hopefully that means that the next one is a win. But it's difficult to see guys go down, and it's difficult when you're in a position where everybody's trying to come back and one guy can't go. And I think people have knee-jerk reactions to stuff like that. I'd rather have not a healthy Mills, but a healthy Hamels, and that's not part of the question. So I guess if he can't go, he can't go. and you do have to protect the bullpen a little bit. You know, you got to try to get someone to go out there and eat up some innings. And if he can't do that, then you need someone else to do it. But if Alec Mills ends up, you know, going four innings, then this is not good.
Cole Hamels getting scratched explains a lot. He has not been the same pitcher since he came back. He's whether they want to call it shoulder soreness or whatever, the oblique injury that shelved him is still something's lingering, and he's not been the same pitcher. He's not been effective. So if he isn't going to be that guy, you know he must be hurting to bow out of a September start with the stakes as high as they are today at Wrigley Field. So let's look at the numbers, though. Alec Mills, this could be a blessing in disguise. Maybe I'll go that route. In six innings in September over three appearances, he's only given up four hits. He's only given up one earned run. He's faced 22 batters, and he struck out nine of them. He hasn't walked anybody. That's pretty efficient. This is a guy that I don't know what they expect out of him in the future. I do wonder if they go on the cheap this offseason, if they aren't able to get the free agent pitchers that they're maybe targeting, seeking. We don't know what the Cubs in 2020 are going to look like on opening day. How does Alec Mills fit into your future? What will today's outing, you know, say about what they think of him moving forward? So I'll go blessing in disguise, because I think a healthy Alec Mills is probably better than an injured anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you, David. I think Hamels must be complete. We've seen it throughout his, you know, since he's come back from the oblique, he's not been himself. If he had any way to go out and perform, he would be there. You know that. His track record tells you that. The guy's been a staff ace for most of his career. So I say blessing in disguise. I'd rather have the healthy pitcher. Alec Mills, you just rattled off, has been pretty good with the Cubs this season. But, it's certainly mentally not a good thing when it's like, oh, Cole Hamels is pitching, and now it's like, oh, well, Alec Mills is pitching. And it just a little bit of a different feel, I'm sure, from the guys. But, I mean, hey, they've got to bounce back from last night. Hamels would have been a lift, but I take the healthy guy still over somebody who's struggling.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Hamels has been pretty ineffective since coming back from the injury that he suffered earlier in the year. And at his age, you know, shoulder fatigue or whatever they want to call it this late in the season, it's not that unusual. So Alec Mills has been fine this year. He's got a couple of quality starts under his belt. Hopefully he can give you five innings tonight. You know, I think that's probably best case scenario, five or six innings. And as far as the bullpen goes as a whole, they didn't have to use Ryan or Wick yesterday at all, which is a plus. So maybe if they have to lean on them today, they're going to be able to do that. Just keep Craig Kimbrel in the clubhouse.
Is Kimbrel available? I was just going to ask you that.
He is available, I'm sure. But or actually, no, back-to-back days, probably
depends
not.
Depends on how he feels this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Probably doesn't feel great.
I'd like to say I'd prefer a healthy Alec Mills over an injured Hamels because, maybe this shoulder soreness is what's adding to the struggles of Cole Hamels. But, I mean, I could see that this is potentially setting up for disaster for the Cubs. You're going to have a bullpen day today. I mean, Millsy's having himself a nice September, and I do hope he has a good game today and can eat some innings up. But if that doesn't happen, you're setting yourself up for another potential big bullpen day tomorrow with the struggling Quintana, and that might lose you three in a row. And if you only win one game in this series, I did say yesterday that I think, along with many of us, that you have to go 5-2 in these final seven against the Cardinals. I could see this being a disaster.
I don't think he's just doing a leg pull here, if that's the question.
Mitch Trubisky said on Thursday, "My guys still believe in me. I believe in myself. And you just got to believe this week is going to be the week. Do you still believe? And is this going to be the week? If not now, then when?"
Yeah, I think six times during his press conference, he used the word believe. And I think the RoboQB was definitely talking on using those talking points to kind of convince himself, kind of try to convince others. That's okay. I want to judge Mitch on this week, how he plays, not how he talks. I think that's always going to be the case with him because it just doesn't seem, he doesn't seem as comfortable at the podium even as he did last year. I don't think, and you haven't seen him as comfortable in the pocket either, but that's where I'll try to evaluate him. I don't know that I'm a big believer in Mitch Trubisky this week. I think that, it's time, as we've talked about and I wrote and everything, it's time to stop making excuses for the kid. He's not a kid anymore. He's making his 30th NFL start. It's time to start seeing some results. You worry about him going on the road because on the road, he has not been great over the course of his career, his young career. He's got a passer rating that is much lower, 79.5, than he is at home, where it's 91.4. He's got more interceptions on the road than touchdowns, 9-8. This is an invitation for him to succeed against the Washington Redskins defense that is pretty bad and is susceptible to the deep pass. So take advantage of this opportunity, Mr. Trubisky, to convince people so they believe in you as much as you say you believe in yourself and you believe in the offense, because right now there's plenty of doubt to be found about Mitch.
I believe in magic in a young girl's heart, but that's just a song. This has to be the week. If not now, then never. This is a great opportunity for him on national television to change the narrative a little bit. And I expect that he will do that. I expect he will get some help in doing that. And I think that things are going to go pretty well for the Bears. And I feel that Mitch, whether people believe or not, you better find a way to figure it out, because he's your guy and you don't have another option.
Yeah, it has to be now after facing two tough defenses. Washington is 30th in the league after two games in defense. Now, the Bears are 30th on offense after two games, so not so great. But it has to be now. It's a weak team. It's a weak defense. And you've got extra time to prepare for them being on Monday Night Football. It is nationally televised, which I guess makes me nervous, because Mitch historically has not been good on national TV. But, you know, this... Think about this. We've had Super Bowl expectations for this team. A lot of us have, all off season. How quickly, if we're talking about Chase Daniel, you know, a few weeks into a season, or, you know, what's going on with the quarterback, that
I don't know anybody's talking about that.
No, but you know what I mean? If it gets to that point, I mean, a few more bad games, it's going to be there, because this defense isn't going anywhere.
David, you know how people are in this city. You know that's coming after a few more of these.
Well, if that happens, then, you know, wildcat with Tariq Cohen. Let me just get ahead of that.
The only time he'll be able to get a touch on the ball.
Hey. Yeah. Tyler Bray has feelings, too.
Well, you know what? Gardner Minshew ain't walking through that door, unfortunately. He would be a much better option than Mitch, given what we've seen from both of them so far this year. But if he can't get it done against the Washington football team, I think that is going to be not only a blow for his confidence, which apparently is so fragile given the way that we're handling him and his teammates refer to him and the booing of the fans and all of that. How soon is now, as Morrissey once sung, Mully? And if it's not on Monday night, then I don't know when it's going to be, because Washington, no bueno.
I agree. It has to be Monday. It has to. And I can see this being a big multi-touchdown game for Mitch Trubisky. I really can. But that's just going to be this year's Tampa Bay if that happens. And I'm not going to put any stock in that. I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to go all Michael Lombardi on this right now. But I'm not going to put a lot of stock into that against a bad Washington defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question we're going to ask management here today.
JC.
Yeah, that hit the wrong one there. Do you see any signs of regression from the Bears' defense? What does the team need to do on that side of the ball to erase all doubts on Monday night?
I don't know if it's regression, but I'd like to see some takeaways. I just want to see more takeaways. They've got 1-2 games. I don't think it's necessarily their fault. I think people are afraid of them and aren't going to do many deep drops or anything like that. I don't see regression. I think Chuck Pagano's done fine. I think the defense has done great. I would like to see takeaways, because I think that a shorter field would help. I think field position is important when you're talking about a team that's having a hard time driving down the field. And I think a way to get touchdowns, too, is by creating takeaways. So that's my only desire, demand, and response.
I see 24 points in two games, so I don't see regression. I see a lot of aggression, and I think they're coming after people a little bit more. I think if you broke it down, it's incremental. It's just small. It's really small, but I think they probably blitz a little bit more.
Steady incremental progress.
Yeah, well, not that kind. I think this is the kind that you can actually see and notice and respect. So I don't know. You're right. The takeaways are something that, you know, sometimes they're fluky, and sometimes you create your own luck. I'd like to see him tackle the football a little bit more, maybe get a few more interceptions. And that would be the only thing that you're missing from this defense, which has been outstanding.
Yeah, I think this defense is the class of the league, and I don't see any signs that it's not. You look at it this way, they've scored one touchdown offensively in two games. Meanwhile, you're facing Aaron Rodgers, who's, of course, a shoe-in Hall of Famer. And against Denver, I mean, they dinked and dunked. It wasn't like they were going downfield, and the Bears' defense got gassed there at the end of the game, being on the field so much. But I have full faith and confidence in this defense. No doubts at all that the great Case Keenum will struggle.
Yeah, Case Keenum is certainly no world beater. I can understand that people might be a little worried the way that Joe Flacco and Emmanuel Sanders at the end of that game on Sunday kind of just imposed their will on the Bears defense, but I think it was an altitude thing. I think it was a fitness thing. Maybe they were gassed at that time. I think the key really is, obviously, takeaways. They got to get some on Monday. I think they will.
That's it. That's the key. Get some takeaways and score. That everybody will feel better about it.
Simple as that. 312-644-6767. Where are you at, Cub fans? Are you worried about the future? You feel like they got this thing secured? And how confident are you when you see a Craig Kimbrell come into the game? It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.